Welcome to the Friday, March the 3rd episode of Briefings with Butts. This is our 25th episode, hard to believe, of the 2022-2023 school year. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, superintendent of the Metropolitan School District of Wayne Township. We hope this weekly update helps to keep you informed, connected, and most importantly, celebrated. It is amazing that we are already in March, and it is a rainy day. March tends to be our snowiest month. It is March Madness, but today it is just rain, so we are thankful for that. Before we get started, I'd like to congratulate this week's trivia winner, Christine Heath, who is a math teacher at Wayne Preparatory Academy. Congratulations to Christine. She wins a Jeans Day for herself and for her team. It's been absolutely another fantastic week in the MSD of Wayne Township, a very busy week. Last night, our individuals who are on the secondary grading committee began to look at grading practices in the secondary schools. Excited to hear back and learn more about those discussions and what recommendations may be made for the upcoming school year. Also yesterday, despite the wreck on 465, our school board had the opportunity to visit Stout Field Elementary School. We got to hear from students, and I was especially impressed with our integration of the arts into our core curricular areas. Students were really able to share how those are being integrated and how they're tying those in together. Very, very exciting. Congratulations to our boys basketball team from Ben Davis. First time school history, undefeated season, still remain undefeated. Moving into the second round of sectionals this evening. They beat Southport this past Wednesday. So keep an eye on the Ben Davis boys basketball team. And of course, there is a lot happening at the State House. It's hard to believe that we're already halfway through the legislative session. As promised, we have back with us our executive director for the Indiana Urban Schools Association, Dr. David Marcotte, and joining him from Bose Public Affairs, Justin Swanson, who is a lobbyist and works directly with Indiana Urban Schools Association. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Glad to be here.
Good morning.
Justin, glad to have you on our Briefings with Butts podcast. Dave had the opportunity to be with us just a few weeks ago when we were talking about the general session, about legislation moving through. We are at what some might call the halfway point. Justin, what does that mean for us?
Halfway point is really marks, but literally kind of a halfway point of session. So House bills that passed out of the House are now have switched over and will start the same process over in the Senate and vice versa. And so every odd year is a budget year for the Indiana General Assembly. And we kind of call those long sessions. So we'll be done. We have to be done by April 29th. But the legislature typically finishes their business a week or two early. So we expect sometime mid-April to get out at this point.
So being done by April 29th, is that a statutory requirement?
It is. And the only bill the legislature has to pass this session is a budget.
Okay.
So that's their number one focus right now.
And so we're aware sometimes they come back for a special session if they have other legislation to pass or they didn't get things done that they wanted to. But April 29th, we call that sin die. Is that correct?
Yep. Absolutely.
That's about as much Latin as I know, other than Knox, which is on the back of my license plate, just because I had a chance to talk to Dr. Walters. She was a little more familiar with the Latin language than I am. But you mentioned the budget. The budget is always the first bill that the House puts out, House Bill 1001. What are some of the things we're looking at in the budget for the next biennium?
So one thing our organization has been really kind of hyper-focused on really for quite a few budgets now is special education funding, English language learner funding, and then taking a really deep dive into the complexity index or the complexity formula, which, most of our members use to survive and also, serve the kids in their schools appropriately.
Yeah.
And so,
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I'm go ahead, Justin.
That was kind of our focus coming into session. Dave's done an awesome job going around all around the state, giving presentations to their school boards, and that really has resulted in, for the first time, one, we have a new Ways and Means chairman, Representative Thompson, who is an educator by trade, so he understands I think more so than the last committee chair over the budget. And so we do have some really good starting points coming out. We have, you know, 5% increase in both years for special education. ELL, Dave will correct me here in a second, I believe is like a 26% increase. And then really for the first time as well, we had a direct discussion on complexity and complexity funding. Out of an acknowledgement that, you know, there is a need for it, and it does actually help student achievement. And we can talk about the numbers in detail a little later on. Again, it's a really good start for working with the Senate members and the details.
Yeah, so we're excited. Excited to get that budget moved over to the Senate. you mentioned our House Ways and Means Chair, who is Representative Jeff Thompson. Ironically, Dr. David Marcotte, who is Executive Director for the Urban Schools Association, was a past principal when Representative Thompson was teaching at Danville High School, and Dr. Marcotte was the principal there. So there's a relationship which I think is beneficial for the Urban Schools Association and all of its members, which include the MSD of Wayne Township. Dr. Marcotte, you've been working quite a bit, and you've spoken previously about Complexity Index. What do the numbers mean for the urban schools?
Well, thank you for the question, and it's great to be with you again on this podcast. Whenever a budget is created, you have good news and you have bad news. And as Justin just mentioned, we've relied in the past on the Senate to kind of take to provide a better situation of funding. But this one is not too bad. But there is good news and bad news. The bad news is that even though we've been working on communicating the need for complexity funding, which is the additional funding that the state provides school districts to educate children of poverty, we're not seeing an increase in that line item. According to Jeff Thompson, who I was his principal, and he's a good guy and a very respectful man. He taught math and physics before he retired. He said that there is a decrease in the number of families of poverty, which means a decrease in the number of families enrolling in TANF and SNAP. And we can certainly debate the reasons for that, but that's the reason why the complexity funding has been flatlined. But there is better news. As Justin mentioned, the increase in special education funding over the next 2 years so far is totals a little over $85 million. We've been communicating that what we need to fully fund special education in the state of Indiana is $122 million. So that's a 11.7% increase. We need a 17.3% increase. And as Justin mentioned, we're in pretty good shape there. $85 million is certainly nothing to sneeze at. And so we're pleased so far with where special ed has landed. In terms of English language learners, that's a program that has been woefully underfunded for many years. And there is a 23% increase, which equates to a $5 million increase to educate students who are learning the English language. So that's the good news part of this, but we're still concerned about the flatlining of the complexity dollars.
Pretty complex stuff for sure. Justin, one of the things that that we typically see is the House always crafts the first draft of the budget, and then it moves over to the Senate. Senate will, Senator Mishler, who is over the Senate Appropriations Committee, will take a look at that and provide some recommendations to the Senate, and then we'll see kind of a compromise happen. But how much change do we expect when that budget moves over to the Senate?
You know, that's always kind of the open question every budget year is, you know, how close do the House and Senate priorities align? Because keep in mind, you know, we are a supermajority of Republicans, so they control the House and the Senate. But just because they're the same party doesn't always mean their, you know, priorities line up at the same time. So we expect, we're hopeful, I should say, in our conversations, we can get maybe direct some more of the the money, making sure the complexity index properly funded, or giving, you know, schools an opportunity to actually verify the data that's used to calculate that funding source. So we typically see a lot of our success come over on the second half of session with the Senate. So we're excited about that. And you mentioned Education Committee, but we should also mention Senator Bassler, who chairs the Education Funding Subcommittee. So he's the senator who's responsible for kind of doing the deep dives on the formula runs and the specific tweaks the Senate wants to see. You know, and we're going to be pushing again back in the 2021 session. Senator Bassler convened a Education Funding Subcommittee hearing. We're going to be pushing for that again as well. That way we can make sure that, you know, senators truly understand, you know, the landscape that schools are facing and the challenges they're facing to, you know, properly serve the students in their hallways.
I appreciate
it. If I might add,
go ahead.
I might add the push that the Urban School Association Justin just alluded to is to allow school districts, if they choose to correct that that complexity index. Currently, that complexity index is created with a deadline of October 1st prior to the biennium, and there's no way that a school district is allowed to change or correct that number. So we're asking that schools, if they choose to do so, to communicate back to the Department of Education if there is something awry in that number. And we're also asking that the complexity index align itself with AM every September and February. That way, that number would be accurate, way more accurate than it currently is.
Ongoing work for sure, and we appreciate all that you're doing with that, Dr. Marcotte, not only during the session, but also after and before the session. As we look at the second half, what are some of the House bills, Dr. Marcotte, that we, and I think I heard yesterday, something around 30 to 35 bills are still active that are education related that we're going to really be focusing on. What are some of those House bills that we are looking forward to moving over to the Senate and to continue to work on?
Sure. Well, the budget, of course, is getting a lot of conversation, but another bill that is getting a significant amount of discussion is House Bill 1002, and that's titled Education and Workforce Matters. Essentially, that is the creation of career scholarship accounts that would basically be an expansion of a voucher type system, but it's in correlation with career and technical education and employers, allowing employers and other organizations like trade unions and individual industry leaders to create educational programming for students. The employers would then receive dollars. The students would receive dollars. The students would no longer be able to take CTE courses in the schools. And so this is a very large bill that the author was struggling to really explain. There's not a lot of dollars attached to this yet. It has potential to change the way we are looking at high school education. There's a possibility of influencing, differentiating the high school diploma, and there's just a lot going on in 1002 that has yet to be fully explained, so we're very focused on how that's going to play out in the Senate. House Bill 1591 is called Education Matters, and that is where districts currently are required to spend 45% of their education fund on teacher salaries. We've been advocating, as well as Denny Caceresan with the School Business Officials Association, to include benefits in that calculation as well. The 45% is strictly just salaries, but we advocated for including benefits because your local teachers' associations control through negotiations in conjunction with administration how those dollars are spent. And so that is now being raised to 62%, and we feel comfortable with that since everyone in our association is going to be comfortably within that guideline. A bill that died that we're real pleased with is House Bill 1428, which was school board elections. And the premise of that was to create partisan school board elections. In other words, folks who run for school board would put a D or an R or an I after their name, similar to every other elected office. We advocated against that, stating that bringing politics, more politics, into the educational environment is not a good thing. And so we're very pleased that that bill actually died. Controversial bill, House Bill 1608, which is the human sexuality instruction. That essentially prohibits the instruction of human sexuality in grades K through 3. Another controversial bill was 1177, handgun training for teachers. And if a school system chooses to do so, there's parameters and guidelines on training teachers to be in possession of firearms on school property and during school hours. House Bill 1449 in conjunction with Senate Bill 435. I'm not sure which one actually passed, but this is good. This is the 21st Century Scholars Program, where a student who qualifies is automatically enrolled in the 21st Century Scholars Program and not needing to actually enroll specifically themselves. So those are the House bills that we've been focusing. There's many others, as you suggested, Dr. Butts, but we would spend a significant amount of time if we went through every one.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Marcotte. Those are some bills that definitely we want to continue to pay attention to. Justin, what about on the Senate side? Are there some bills that we're also watching there as they get ready to move over to the House?
Yes, absolutely. There's a couple. Senate Bill 260 is a bill that would allow tax credits to be awarded to people who donate to their school corporation foundations. And so this is a bill that's been kind of percolating for the last couple of years and has never really made it. We've had public discussions on it, but never really made it across the finish line in either chamber. And Senate Bill 260 did pass out of the Senate this year. So it'll start its process over on the House here next week. The only downside is right now it's the state's only committing $100,000 worth of tax credits to it, not going to last very long. But it did that lowering that amount did keep the bill moving. And sometimes that's all you are trying to do during the session is keep your bill alive to work on it as it moves through the process. So that's a good bill. Another bill we're watching is Senate Bill 12. This bill puts a lot of bureaucracy into back onto teachers and librarians in terms of scanning what books are available, creating a new committee. So it just creates a lot of, I think, confusion on what is, in fact, a quote, material that's harmful to children. So this is another bill that's been around for the last couple of years. Last session it died. I think it was one of the last bills to die the last night of session. So it'll be interesting to see what the House wants to do with that bill. Another one also, Dave will correct me, but I believe we have like 85% of our members are in a, or have charter schools in their districts. So a bill we're watching closely is Senate Bill 391. It's making even more changes to this current law where schools have to sell or offer to sell vacant school buildings for a dollar. They're really, I think, making it a lot harder to operate under that. So that's another bill we're going to be watching pretty closely in the House.
And what happens, so for our listeners, we like to remind our listeners, by the way, that the lower the number of the bill, the more important it is in the House where, or in the chamber where it was generated. So just a reminder, for instance, House Bill 1001, the budget, very, very important. That is an important bill. It's a priority bill. Typically, the first 10 in the numerical order are priority bills for House and for Senate. What happens, Justin, after it goes over to the other chamber and some changes are recommended?
So great question. So when the bill passes out of its chamber of origin, that author of the bill selects what's called a sponsor. So someone who's in the other chamber that's going to shepherd the bill through the process. And as that bill goes through the process and changes are made, amendments are adopted to the bill, even if it's one, changing one letter or one word, any change, once it passes that other chamber, it'll go back to the original author of the bill, where that author has the opportunity to either consent to the changes, and then you basically do a final vote on it, or you can the author can dissent on the changes, saying, "Hey, I don't like what you guys did to my bill." Then you take it to conference committee, and that's really where the sausage gets made. It's typically the last week or two towards the end of session, and that's really where it comes down to a negotiation directly between the senator and the House member, and then any change or any negotiations that are made and agreed upon, you adopt what's called a conference committee report, and then that will then take it eventually to an up or down vote.
So we know that typically the last couple of weeks of session are really, really busy. Lots of bills and amendments and new drafts are flying around the State House as our senators and representatives try to digest some of those changes and get recommendations from the author and from sponsors. What can our staff do? What can the listeners do with their respective legislator to let them know what their opinion is, what their beliefs are, maybe some of the concerns that they have with bills or even the support that they have for certain bills that are still active?
So my suggestion is, whenever you're trying to influence legislation, I think the most effective way is really to position yourself as a resource to the to your legislator, either your representative or your senator. And just remember, keep in mind, we're a legislature's a part-time civil legislature. So these are not their full-time jobs. They have life outside of the State House. Really go into these conversations with the attitude of trying to educate the legislator on your position and give them concrete examples of, how this particular bill or provision in the bill directly impacts, how you are operating or your daily life with your students. And you can do that either through email or phone calls. The time to start building relationships is really kind of leading up and outside of session, but it's never too late to start.
I can't agree more with what Justin just said. Sometimes those of us that spend significant amount of time at the State House are considered insiders. I'm a former principal and superintendent, and I represent the urban schools. Justin, this is his full-time job to lobby down at the State House. And so sometimes when we speak to legislators, they look at us like, well, of course, that's how you feel. You're the insider. And so hearing from people from the outside, like teachers themselves or anyone who works in your school or even neighbors, or connecting with your legislators makes a significant difference. Because when we speak with legislators, they'll tell me, well, I've heard this back home, I've heard that back home. And it kind of motivates them to kind of, do their job and to think through what they're hearing back home. So connecting with your legislators back home is significantly important.
Great advice. Please, Justin. What else can our staff do?
Just real quick. So most legislators have what are called kind of third houses or town hall meetings on Saturday mornings during session, and that's also a great opportunity to engage your legislators.
Yeah, absolutely, and those are great times. The legislators really are open to listening to their constituents. That's why they have those third houses. Also make mention that all of our legislators have what are known as legislative assistants, or LAs. They're typically the ones that may be processing all of the information coming in via email or phone. So don't be discouraged if you don't talk directly to your legislator when you try to contact them at the State House. You're likely to talk to one of their staff members as they are moving between committees and in the chamber, listening to when session is active and listening to some of the bills and discussing with other legislators and others at the State House. So you may talk to a legislative assistant or an LA when you call in. And as we have often said in the MSD of Wayne Township, because we have so many of our employees who live in other towns and other communities and other areas, we do have a broad swath of influence with legislators outside of just those who represent the physical boundaries of the MSD of Wayne Township. And so we do encourage people to make sure they contact their specific legislator that represents them, where they live, where they register to vote, and where those legislators are active with their constituents. So I want to thank again. There's so much more that we could talk about, I know, and our time is limited, but I want to thank our executive director for the Indiana Urban Schools Association, Dr. David Marcotte, and one of our friends down at the State House and a lobbyist for Indiana Urban Schools Association, Justin Swanson with Bose Public Affairs. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
March is a short month for the MSD of Wayne Township with breaks coming up, but there is so much going on. I want to remind you that tonight the Ben Davis boys basketball team will be taking on Franklin Central in the second round of the sectionals. We hope to see them play for the championship tomorrow night on Saturday. That game is held at Perry Meridian High School. Also, registration for the annual Science Summer Safari directed by Rick Crosland opens this Sunday, March the 5th. It does often sell out within the first couple of hours, so make sure to be watching for that. Online registration links will be included in our weekly Parent Square message that goes out to staff and families. That's tomorrow, Sunday at 6 p.m. Spaces are limited and will fill up quickly. This upcoming Monday, the board will have their business meeting, followed by a working session next Monday on the 13th, trying to get both of those in before break. So stay tuned for information that comes out regarding our business meeting with the Board of Education on Monday, March the 6th. Also, we'll be gathering with our community leaders for lunch at Harvest on Tuesday, March the 7th. Great opportunity for all of our partners and all of our community leaders to join together to hear more about what's happening here in the MSD of Wayne Township and in the Wayne Township community. Also Tuesday night, our annual Senior Choice Awards, a great opportunity for our staff to be recognized by the class of 2023. That will be held 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Chapel Hill 7th and 8th Grade Center in the Commons. Also, our annual Martin Luther King last year it was at Chapel Hill. I believe we're at Ben Davis. Stay tuned for that. I'm going to have to check my records to make sure that my location is correct, but I know that all recipients have received an invitation, so I wouldn't go with what I'm saying today. I would go with what you are hearing or what you're reading on the invitation for our Senior Choice Awards. Also, our annual Martin Luther King Junior Freedom of Expression Award Ceremony will be Thursday, March the 9th, 6 to 7:30. We're excited to recognize all of our students who submitted and received recognition for their Martin Luther King Jr. Freedom of Expression Awards. And coming up back in person, you got to see a little snippet of a video where I defeated our Assistant Superintendent for Finance and Operations, Mr. Barry Gardner, to be the MC of our Wayne Winter Games, and followed by the Giant Health Fair, which is back in person March the 11th at Ben Davis High School. Also a reminder, a new event this year, our mile walk will be occurring during the health fair, so make sure to stop by. There will be fun stations for all of our children and for adults. Advanced registration is required for that team competition, so make sure you get your team registered this weekend. You can find more information about the Wayne Winter Games and the Giant Health Fair and the Giant Mile using the link in this week's Briefings with Butts Parent Square message. Well, that's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next Friday for the latest on what's happening in the MSD of Wayne Township. Before we wrap up this episode, I want to once again end with a quote from John Lewis. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? Thank you for the impact you make each and every day. And remember, I am Wayne. You are Wayne. We are Wayne. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.